Okay. She's just started taking lessons. Doing a great job. We've got another pianist blooming right before our eyes. And before Pastor Taylor comes and preaches, I just want to give you a little commercial. Okay. Wednesday night, we're starting a new Bible study series. And I'm going to try to tackle two different viewpoints that are out in our Christian culture today. On the one side, you have grace and people that believe and kind of live their lives from the point of view that God's grace covers everything. It doesn't matter what we do because God's grace and He'll forgive us everything we do. And they go way too far that way. And then on the other side, you have the individuals that believe that we have to work really, 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 really hard to get God's blessings. And maybe you've known some people like that before. Well, they're both wrong. And I'm going to try to pull all that apart starting this Wednesday and seeing just what the Bible says and how they both fit together. So I trust you'll come and join us on Wednesday night on our live stream Bible study starting at 7 o'clock.
All right. My turn now. All right. So. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. If I can speak anymore. All right. Here we go. This evening, let's jump into Galatians. How about that? And no, we're not watching a television series tonight. All of you are just like, oh, man. And I apologize. I did not get the pages out to the kids. So if your parents have a spare bulletin that you can write notes on and you show them to me, I will make sure you get candy afterwards, all right? And the adults are like, where's my candy? Sorry. Just trying to encourage the kids to stay involved during the service, to try to get something out of the message rather than just fall asleep, because I know that that is the usual. Maybe I should do that for some adults, too, because you think, oh, Sunday afternoon nap, we'll just continue that right along. And some of you think that's scriptural. So yes, Second Hezekiah, right? Yes, that is very good. So as far as tonight goes, I want to start with this. How about we do this? I want you to start thinking here. And let me ask you this question. If somebody tells you that they are a Christian, do you believe everything that they state? Yes or no? No. Good one. Good. Good job. All right. You pass that question. All right. Now, what if they say that they are an independent fundamental Baptist church? Do you believe everything that they say? No. Okay. Good job. Way to go. He's brave. All right. The rest of you are like, I don't know if I should say anything. Okay. And why am I saying this? It's because there are so many things out there right now that are really getting confusing. You thought it was confusing before. Now it's getting really confusing. You want to know why? A little while ago, I think it was about a month or so ago, there was a church out in California that they wanted to overcome not being able to open up. So they labeled themselves as a strip club in order for themselves to open up. Okay? Now, how many of you think that? I hope nobody raises their hand. Okay? You know how confusing that would be? That, I'm not joking, folks. That was a true thing. You know how confusing that would be? People would be wondering, what is this building, this group of people all about? What do they lift up? What do they value? I read an article about a Baptist minister. I don't know if any of you follow Ken Ham, but he shared it today. And there was a Baptist minister who praised President Joe Biden for starting support of Planned Parenthood again because she believes that abortion is a sacred choice. Now, would that confuse anyone? Oh, big time. Was it the representative down in Georgia is pro-abortion, the one that they just voted in? That's really confusing to people. When God creates life, but, quote-unquote, ministers of a Baptist church decide that we're going to support choices that take away life, that's no good. Here's another one. I just heard this today. There's a bar that wants to open back up. I think they're called 400 Rabbits or something. It was some weird name. Now they're calling themselves the Church of 400 Rabbits so that they can open up. Well, churches can open up. Why can't I? So I'm just going to make our bar a church. So they say, well, if you want to stay till 10, after 10, you know, we welcome you and we don't judge you and da da da. They've got a whole entire spiel and mission statement after they say Church of, I think it was like 400 Rabbits is what it was called. Why am I telling you this? It's because there are so many labels out there that just confuse you. If you were to talk to a Mormon and you were to state what you believe with the Christian lingo that we use, you would think that we believe almost the exact same thing. But when you ask that Mormon to define the terms that he or she is using, you would find that we are very, very different. And that's why it's so important for us to use discernment. For us to know the Word of God. To not just depend on Pastor Taylor and Pastor McPhillips to relay the Word. Okay? I think it's very important, and I believe that God puts emphasis on being a part of a local church and listening to the Word of God being preached and taught. Don't you believe that that's important and God puts emphasis on that? But don't rely on that as your only food intake. I believe the kids sang about it this morning. We don't eat one meal a week. In fact, for some of you, You tried to beat the last week, right? And how many meals? Like, Troy. I mean, he just, hey, let's get some more food in, right? Second lunch, second breakfast, whatever it is, right? Yeah. Oh, you're changing your lifestyle, Troy. I thought you were going to just give me a hearty amen after that one. I mean, we like to eat, don't we? We're Americans, for crying out loud. We love to eat. But if it's spiritual food, I can go lean on that one. I might be able to skip a few meals. We need to read the Word of God so that we know what's truth and what's not truth. So that way when people come in and try to present something, an ideology, a mission, a philosophy, whatever it might be, we will know what is right and what is wrong. In Galatians, we're finding that these people are so quickly, he is surprised at how quickly they turn from the Jesus who saved them. And they turn to another gospel. They turned away. Why is this happening? It's because people are not grounded enough in the Word of God. Let me ask you these questions. You say, keep asking me questions, keep asking me questions. Well, I want to get your thought process going, okay? How many of you, now don't raise your hand, because we don't need, well, we could do confession tonight, but we really don't have to, all right? How many of you have ever walked away from your faith? Was it for a day? Is it for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, decades? How many Christians walk away from their faith. What caused you to do it? Was it people? I would say a huge amount of walking away from people's faith is because of other people. Would you agree with me on that one? There is a whole lot of church hurt because that person hurt me, because they didn't accept me, because they didn't even see me. I'm out. They're not loving me the way that God wants them to love me. But yet, if I'm out, am I loving them the way that God wants me to love them? But we see it all the time. People walking away. How many? I mean, just think of it. Just think of it. If it's not you, think of someone who not long ago was sitting in the pew next to you, or in front of you, or behind you, or across the room. Think of 37 years ago, I think this March, am I correct on the years? Think of 37 years ago, the person who signed alongside of you. I will be a part of Grace Baptist Church. I will support Grace Baptist Church. I will be involved with Grace Baptist. Think of all of those. Is your memory being flooded? There's a whole lot of people that I think of. There's a whole lot that has come through the youth group and are gone. Is it because they moved out of Taylorville? They completed their life's goal of moving out of Taylorville? No, they're still here because that's what happens. You move away and you come back. Right, Jason? Where are you? Yeah, you move away and come back. Right, Taylor? Yeah. And there's several others that they've moved away and they've come back. And then you got John who just happened to show up in Taylorville and then he got married. There you go. And he's been here forever. Just think of it. Think of it. How many have come and gone? Why? What has taken them away from their faith? Now, tonight, I want to help you in that constant temptation to walk away from your faith. Because you say, I've never been faced with that temptation. I'm not sure if you're breathing. Has anybody else struggled like I have with, oh man, I just don't know if it's worth it anymore. What this person has done to me, what this person has turned against me, or have you ever struggled in your faith? I'm the only one. No, I don't believe it. There you go. I got somebody here. I think we've all struggled. Have you ever at 5:30 or maybe at 5 woken up, said, man, I just don't feel like hearing Pastor Taylor tonight. I'm closing my eyes. You can raise your hand if you want. I'll look back at the recording later on. I'm just not feeling it. Why is that? I want to help you tonight to battle that feeling. Because you know when it starts with one evening, one day, one month, it just keeps on growing. And then all of a sudden people look back and they're thinking, when did I leave? It was just a few moments ago. No, it was 10 years ago. And then they show up to church and, oh, somebody took my pew. How dare they? And that person doesn't even know who you are. Well, I am a member of Grace Baptist Church. Prove it. So I want to help you tonight battle that with several questions that Paul throws at these Galatian believers. Because I think that's something that we all deal with, that we all struggle with, that we all struggled with COVID. Because your lazy boy feels so much better than these pews. Am I in agreement there? Okay? It does. So why can't we just do remote forever, right? We all know why. Because you really struggle with even tuning into remote, right? It happens. So as we get into this tonight, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. Why? Because you need to know the context. I would do more, but I don't have that kind of time. So, verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Yes, that's where I got the title. Okay? That did not start with a TV show. It started with the King James Version. But anyway, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. This is when we're going to stand up together and sing Father Abraham. You ready? I'm just kidding. Y'all miss that song, don't you? Wednesday night kids club will be starting soon. Anybody want to join? All right. Anyway, it says in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The gospel was planned back when Abraham was alive. Did Abraham understand it? No, it was a mystery. And yet you see the foreshadowing of that way back into the Old Testament. All right, so it says there, going on in verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so there's a whole lot in there that we're going to be getting into. Yes, there's a whole lot of definitions. There's a whole lot of descriptions to understand in that. But you understand where he goes back even to Abraham. And he talks about how even the Gentiles were talked about then and the gospel and how important that is. And even Abraham believed and he proved his faith through how he lived his life. That trying to appease the law, it's like you're cursed because you can never appease it fully. Why is he trying to point out all these things? Because those who think that they're more spiritual are trying to point these new Christians back to the law. When Christ came to fulfill the law. Grace alone. Pretty sure your new series is going right along with Galatians. Grace alone. So as we get into here, in verses 1 through 5, he actually describes several different things that he wants us to go back to and think about when we are struggling in our faith. And these three points are actually the three parts of the Trinity. Now, do you want me to give you a theology of the Trinity tonight? No, it's too late in the evening. We'll deal with that another time. But we're going to be talking about point one, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. And they're all in three different aspects here, but working together in verses 1 through 5. So let's go ahead and jump into verse 1 and our point, God the Son. God the Son. As you get into that, I'll read that verse for you again. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He goes on here and he's describing these Galatians. And if any of you were described, if I was to come up to you and you describe you in this way, how many of you would probably just walk right away? Oh, foolish. Okay, that would be a struggle, wouldn't it be some humility for you to receive that kind of talk? You're saying, oh, foolish Galatians. What is he talking about there in being foolish? Well, if you were actually to go back into the definition, it's describing a state of being mindless, unintelligent, dull-witted. Oh, it's so encouraging. You're edifying, Paul. Now, he's stating the truth here, because I really like this part. Not marked by the use of reason. Now, when we stand here and we're in a church service, we're under the preaching of God's word, and we think about all of those out there that have walked away from their faith, we think about the reasons behind why they've walked away. And we think, why? That just doesn't seem reasonable. Well, people were mean. Well, people were mean to Jesus too, but he stayed. People didn't give me attention. Well, is that what the Christian life is calling you to? I didn't get to do this. I didn't get to do that. You notice the term I. There's a whole lot there. And we think, why are you walking away from God when someone affected you? Is your faith in God or is your faith in the people of God? Where is it foundationed in? Who is it foundationed in? But as he goes on here, he says, listen, you are not being marked with reason with how you have so quickly left the faith. He says, who hath bewitched you? That bewitched is, I like this definition, to give the evil eye. Now, we don't need to practice that this evening. But have you ever given the evil eye? Okay, but the idea behind giving the evil eye in this instance is to look on someone with a covetous or envious heart, thought of as casting a magical spell that wreaks various degrees of harm on its subject. So someone who is envying and coveting something that's going on in your life, they are looking upon you with the motivation of envy and coveting and trying to cast harm upon you. Why? Because they're not getting their way. They're not getting attention. So they're trying to bewitch you. They're trying to fool you. They're trying to harm you. There's a lot of so-called preachers and TV evangelists that have an evil eye. There are a lot of politicians that have an evil eye, but there's also a lot of church members that have an evil eye. I'm not saying about grace necessarily, but it can happen. It can happen. When we get focused on ourselves, we can detract other people from the truth, looking into the author and finisher of our faith, can't we? How can that happen? That can happen simply through complaining and gossip, can't it? That can happen through discouragement and tearing down leadership. And there's so many different things that can actually discourage from the truth. And yet these people who are envious are coming in And they are taking away these Galatian Christians. They are bewitching them. And you're thinking, what is going on? And you're trying to, you know, put a hand in front of their face and say, what has got your attention? And folks, it's not Jesus. Something else has bewitched them. And so he goes on, he says, you're foolish, you're without reason for being bewitched. He says that you should not obey the truth. You know what it is. You know that the truth can set you free. How can you fix those people? How can you fix those who have been bewitched? Well, I heard if you slap them with a King James Version, it really helps. I'm just kidding. Some of you need your laughter to come out tonight. It's like this morning. Okay, I needed Josh Clayton to be out in the auditorium. Because when Troy came out and he's talking about, you know, different things and he goes, did any of you laugh at that? I mean, come on, laugh. I know you're Baptist, but laugh. Come on. I mean, when it's coming out here, you don't want to slap people with the King James Version in order to make them do what you want them to do. You don't go and talk about them behind their back to other people and say, what's up with them? I can't believe it. They're such a non-spiritual Christian for doing this, right? We don't do that kind of a thing. And he's confronting the situation head on. He's coming here. Listen, you've been bewitched. Here's the truth. Remember Jesus Christ. He was put right in front of your eyes as if he was crucified right in front of your eyes. You were able to see the power of the gospel right in front of your eyes, and you have walked away from the Son of God. Say, I've heard about this being described in Galatians before. You're right. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it actually should be up there on the screen here pretty soon. It says there, it's not jumping. It's the next one. There we go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying there's a difference. I live a totally different life now because of the crucifixion of our Jesus and later on the resurrection of our Jesus conquering sin and death. I live totally different now. You see a difference in my life. Have you ever noticed a difference in people's lives when they give themselves to Jesus Christ? And that's awesome. All of a sudden, the light comes on. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, and to see a stubborn, grumpy old man finally say yes to Jesus Christ and give you a hug, say, that's a miracle, folks. When you can watch somebody come out of addiction. When I was in Ireland a few years ago, we went to a Reformers Unanimous, and they have a big group there in Dublin. And I don't know if you know this, but alcohol is a big addiction over in Ireland, okay? You probably know that already. Big addiction. And there was a guy that was there who he came up to me and he starts talking and talking about what God's doing, and he's just super pumped. And the missionary that I was staying with at the moment came up to me afterwards and told me his testimony. He says, you know, he couldn't even make a sentence. He was so into drugs and alcohol that he could only mumble. He lost his family. He lost everything. And when he got right with God, he gained it back. He worked super hard. to gain his family back. But you know, that's the power of God. When he can reach down and pull us up out of the miry clay, pull us up out of the pig pit that we put ourselves in, and say, you can live a totally different life and make us new. That's the power of the gospel. And if you haven't seen that in your life, we need to talk tonight. We need to talk about the gospel. He's saying, listen, you're in a daze. You've been bewitched. Why are you walking away from the power of the gospel? He goes on in the next couple of verses here. In verse 2, Galatians chapter 3, he goes on and he states, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I want to know this. Okay, did you receive the Holy Spirit by achieving him through the works of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by putting your faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, we know the answer, right? This kind of reminded me of, do you remember, maybe some of you have kids in this situation right now. And do you remember fundraisers? And they would sucker us kids into selling hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of nasty food, right? And we were looking forward to, if we sold, you know, $25,000, they would get you an Xbox. Really? Wow, do you ever remember that? You know, back, I think they're still doing it. They sucker punch you with fundraising. Hey, if you raise $25,000, that's totally worth a new game system. Right, sure. Okay? But just think of that. That's the feeling that I'm getting from what he's talking about. Did you achieve the Holy Spirit by doing this, this, and this? Did you get this as a reward for all the things that you've done? For crying out loud, no! We get the Spirit because of faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of grace that the Holy Spirit gets to come and live within us. There's a couple of verses here, and I believe it's Ephesians, okay? In verse 13. We was in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Okay, you heard the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise. So listen to that. Go back just one verse, okay? Listen to that. Ye heard the truth of the gospel of salvation. You believed. You had faith. And you were sealed with the Spirit. Did you achieve the Holy Spirit? Did you sell enough? Did you do enough in order to get the Holy Spirit? No, there is. You cannot do enough in order to achieve that. That is through faith. And going on in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. We get God, the Holy Spirit, living within us who have faith in Jesus Christ. We have the power of God within us. He sets up shop. There is a remodel. We are new in Him. Until we are glorified. Why would anyone want to be a Christian? I want to. I am. I'm excited that I have the Holy Spirit of God living within me. And that means that my life has to exemplify the Holy Spirit of God living within me, right? Does that mean I'm going to start doing cartwheels up and down the aisle? I mean, because sometimes they say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you start getting snakes and making them bite your arm. Please. My son has an obsession with snakes, and I am so scared. I am so scared of this obsession. I hate snakes. Okay? You want to know what happened to the Garden of Eden? A snake. That's what happened to the Garden of Eden. All right? Okay, there was a little bit more that happened there. But he has this obsession with it. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope he does not go over to Steve Brandon's house and try to pet his snake. Okay? I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to mess with it. Believe me, having a snake biting you is not a part of what we do here. Okay, that does not prove that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to see me doing cartwheels down the aisle. And you want to? You don't want me popping off with a bunch of gibberish. You don't know what I just said. Because I didn't say anything. I said Reaganese. That's my daughter's language. That didn't benefit anyone. That doesn't mean that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't show you the power of God. As you go on, the power of God is going into Galatians chapter 5 and knowing what walking in the Spirit really means. Love, joy, peace. Walking in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit coming out in our lives. You go on into verse 3 there. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" See, so you started with the Spirit. The Spirit worked and there was a justification there through Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit came into your life. But He's just setting up shop. He's squatting. Okay, that's He's a squatter. That's what He does, and you just do your own thing after that. Is that the way that God has presented Himself throughout Scripture? Is that the way that the Holy Spirit has presented Himself through Scripture? He's not saying here, okay, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and then you're all done. The Holy Spirit is continually active in your life, helping you along the way. All right? You see there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18, should be up on your screen, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." There's a difference there. If we're led by the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit, we're not trying to achieve the law and all these legalistic ideals here. We're just walking in Spirit. See, how do I do that? You know, it's really tough to sin when we're, again, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. I've told the teenagers this before, and they've slept since then, so they probably don't remember. You know, sometimes teenagers have temptations with different things, okay? And when they're with the opposite gender, and they're sitting alone in the car, and all of a sudden they have this temptation to do something, I've told them to all of a sudden think of my face going, "That'll get rid of any thoughts that you had. You'll want to take her home by the time that her daddy told you to take her home." Okay? Listen, when we are in the midst of a temptation and we think of our Jesus being crucified on the cross, we want to step away from that temptation, don't we? But if we keep on going down that track and forgetting the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we'll sin. You want to fight the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. If you want to fight the flesh, don't try to achieve the law. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. He goes on in verse 4 here. In verse 4, it says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" It goes along those lines of so many committing their lives to Jesus Christ and years later walking away. See, have you, all of this, is it in vain? All that you suffered, was it in vain? Let's go on the positive things. All the things that you learned and grew by, all the people that you've been able to love and to cherish, all the people that He's brought to your life, is that all a waste? Are we going to throw all that away? Are we going to cherish what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives with how He's helped us walk? Let's jump into the last point, God the Father. You see here in verse 5, it says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." So who gives this Holy Spirit? It's God the Father. "And worketh miracles among you, doeth He it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith." And again, we know the truth. Does He do it by, does all of a sudden these miracles that happen, is it achieved by mankind? No. Otherwise, you'll get that fake stuff on TV. If you want miracles, go to the God of miracles. If you want faith that moves mountains, have faith that moves mountains. If you want to pray and seek His face and turn from your wicked ways, if you want change, if you want revival in America, it's not going to happen because you read some book on revival. It's going to be because you seek His face and ask for help. When you go to the lost and teach them about the gospel that saves. If you want increase, you better go to the God of the increase. Last verse here, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says up on the screen there, "And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered." It's talking about the church and Christ being the head. "And knit together increaseth with the increase of God." If you want to grow, if you want our church to grow, guess where the increase is going to come from? God Himself. You say, we don't see a whole lot of miracles today. I think we see a ton of miracles. Do you know, in our day and age, for any woman to choose life for her child, I think that's a miracle. I think a marriage staying together, I think that's a miracle, folks. I really do. I love cherishing the 50 and 70 and 60 years of marriage. I love that. Hey, let's clap anytime. I mean, we could do that. We can thank God for that. I think it's a miracle when a teenager sticks with it and comes as an adult to church and stays involved. I think that's a miracle. I think it's a miracle that we have what's here right now. Don't you think that's a miracle? That's of God. Because for anybody on the outside looking at our church coming together during this pandemic, they're thinking, man, why would anybody want to go and gather during a pandemic? Why? Why would anybody want to sing during a pandemic? Why would anybody want to love one another during all of this disunity in America? Why is that? It's because of the work of God in our lives. It's because of the gospel. That's a miracle. For me to be here and to be your pastor is a miracle. Do I get an amen with that? Right? Yeah. Your youth pastor thought it was a miracle that you are a pastor, right? I mean, just the miracles are happening every single day. It is the grace and the mercy of our God. So when you're tempted to be bewitched by all the other things that's going on around us, remember the Trinity and all that it's done in your life through the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done and what you will continue to do. And God, I just ask you to continue to work in our lives. And we are so thankful for the power of the gospel. We're so thankful for you. We're thankful for God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all three working together for the same purpose. God, we're thankful for changed lives. We're thankful for miracles. We're thankful that every good and perfect gift comes from you. God, if there's someone here tonight that has no idea about the power of the gospel and what we've been called to, may they ask. May the Holy Spirit convict them and push them to that point of acknowledging that your way is best. The only way. The way, the truth, and the life. God, may you work in and through us, and if need be, around us. Because we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.